Hey, y'all. Welcome back for another episode of the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is your fearless host, Erica Anderson, and today we are going to talk about awareness and how that segues into emotional intelligence. I'm so excited about talking about this because just the downloads of just information and ideas and just, oh my gosh, like, can you hear my excitement? I'm so excited. So this will definitely be a series. I am formulating all of my content this week. So make sure that if you are not subscribed to the podcast, that you do so now, okay? Because you don't want to miss this, all right? So stay tuned. I'll be right back. All right, y'all, I'm back. So if you are not aware, one of the many things that I do, multi-passionate woman with many things going on, I am a life skills coordinator for a Toastmasters club for kids. So we meet twice a month on Saturday morning for an hour, and I do a segment where I talk about a particular life skill, and it generally is based on whatever I'm discussing for the week on my other platforms, whether it's IG, Facebook, whatever. And I just make it kid friendly, and I share it with the kids, and I teach them a lesson, I give them some information, and the goal has been to really just share information with them that help them to become more emotionally intelligent. The goal is to develop emotionally intelligent leaders of the upcoming generation. That's really important for me because I personally have two children. I'm intentional about teaching them how to be emotionally intelligent. It's important to me for them to be mannerable and for them to be diplomatic and tactful and to know how to not just conduct themselves when they're in the midst of other people, but for them to be people of integrity. Because I feel like the more time goes on, the more people are okay with not operating in integrity. Anyway, so this past Saturday, we had our meeting, and it's funny because when I think about the time that I've been a part of this organization, the leader of this organization, Ronnie Wells, shout out to Ronnie Wells for just spearheading this movement and being intentional about teaching these children, not even just the communication skills and the leadership skills, but it really started out as a fitness thing. So just teaching children to be intentional in how they live their lives. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this organization. But so over time, we have had just these different subjects. So we have an agenda that is released every week that we have the meeting, and it spells out, you know, who the officers of the club are. There's a word of the day. There's, you know, the agenda that tells who's supposed to do what at what point in the meeting. And there's always a subject that is listed there. But, you know, Ronnie's like, listen, you don't have to stick to whatever that subject is. You can tell whatever it is that you want to tell, whatever you want to teach. So this particular week, I can't remember what was on the agenda, but I remembered that in the last week or in the week prior to Saturday's meeting, there were a couple of words that kept coming up as I was sharing content or as I was in conversation with my friends and different things like that. And one of the words that kept coming up was awareness. And I was like, let me see what I can put together for these kids, because I think awareness is something that we have to be intentional about teaching our children from the time that they can understand that concept. So what I did was I wrote down a couple of definitions of awareness, and then I went to a nifty old Wikipedia because, you know, I was kind of short on time, and I found this thing that talked about three types of awareness. And those three types are bodily, social, and introspective. And as I started thinking about what it was that I wanted to share with the children, I was like, you know what, Erica, just keep it simple. Because let me tell you, I am an overthinker. Hey, y'all. And I really just wanted to make sure that it was going to be time effective, but impactful. That's really important for me as both a writer and an editor. For those of you who don't know, I'm also a book editor. So whenever I edit books, conciseness is important to me. And so I can't be that way as an editor and not be that way as a writer or even as a speaker. Like sometimes I'm long-winded. That's one of the reasons why I started podcasting, because I was like, I have a lot to say. So aside from creating these posts and writing copy and doing all these other things, let me go talk, because that's a way in which I can get these words out, because they're always flowing. But anyway, so when I thought about breaking down these three types of awareness to the kids, I just kept it simple. Bodily awareness is being aware of what's happening in your body. So let's just say you start to get a headache. There's an awareness that takes place in you being able to acknowledge that you have a headache. Or let's say you stump your toe. This is a much more prominent example of having bodily awareness, because obviously you have done something that hurts. It's clear. It hurts. There's that bodily awareness of knowing that something has happened. And then there's social awareness. This is where you are in environments where you have to interact with people and you are able to be aware of what's going on. So you may notice that somebody's angry, or if you're walking through the grocery store, maybe you notice that, you know, someone is on their phone, so they're not paying attention and they don't know that the line is moving up. Or in having a conversation with somebody, maybe you're having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, being aware of their body language, their facial expressions. Maybe you say something and they contort their face, so you now maybe have that understanding that they either don't know what you're talking about or they don't agree with what you're talking about. But social awareness is important because as you pay attention to those cues, it can tell you how to move about in those environments. Maybe you're talking to somebody and you say something that was offensive, so now there may come a need to diffuse that situation or maybe even walk away. Then the third type of awareness is introspective, and this can actually border on bodily awareness, because when you have introspective awareness, sometimes it can cause things to come up physically. So introspective awareness is having the ability to know how you're feeling, knowing what's going on with you, understanding when your mood shifts, or being aware of the thoughts that come across your mind, being aware of when somebody has offended you, or, and of course that falls into feelings, but, you know, just being aware of what comes up for you when there is external provocation, or being aware of what's going on with you spiritually. It's multifaceted in a sense, because there are so many variables that may come up when it comes to that being introspective. But what I want to talk about as it relates to that introspective awareness is the need to be emotionally intelligent. Now, I'm so flipping excited, y'all, about talking about this, because one of the ways in which I personally have been able to grow is being intentional about emotional intelligence. Now, what is emotional intelligence? It is the ability to understand emotions. It starts with understanding emotions, but then there's also packed into that knowing how to approach conflict, knowing how to respond to the different things that come up, and doing so in a way that is considerate of both yourself and other people who are involved. So emotional intelligence isn't about selfishness. However, sometimes it can result in you setting boundaries to protect yourself from having to continuously experience negative emotions. So, for example, you may have a strained relationship with someone, and having interactions with them incites a certain emotion within you, whether that's irritation or anger, or if it's someone who you have had conflict with, sometimes it can bring up embarrassment or shame. Or, you know, so just fill in the blank for whatever the possibilities are. But ultimately, emotional intelligence allows you to navigate those situations by making sure that you are communicating effectively and then doing what's possible to make sure that you can have a positive interaction with that person. And if you're unable to have a positive interaction with that person, making a concerted effort to either navigate situations with that person accordingly or set boundaries so that if I do have to deal with you, this is the capacity in which I can or am willing to deal with you. And then if I have to cut you off completely, I'll do that as well. But one of the things that I think is fleeting when it comes to people having emotional intelligence is understanding that you don't have to babysit other people's emotions. Emotional intelligence is not being complacent, okay? There is an element of emotional intelligence that requires you to have the maturity to have hard conversations. Sometimes those hard conversations may result in things that challenge you. But reality is, this is a part of life. Challenges are going to come whether you invite them or not. Challenges are going to present themselves whether you position yourself for them or not. We are going to deal with challenges in life no matter what. So a part of emotional intelligence is not allowing yourself to be complacent and being intentional about taking those challenges head on, facing those challenges head on. Because one of the things that I've learned is that when you ignore things that need to be addressed, they typically don't get better and they typically don't go away. You're going to have to address those things at some point, whether you want to or not. And generally, the sooner you handle that situation, the better. And that's just what it is. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, okay? So another thing that I wanted to point out about emotional intelligence is that it is something that is cultivated and developed. And sometimes that happens through error. One of the things that I learned in my journey of cultivating my emotional intelligence is that it's like building blocks. And there are a lot of situations in personal development that kind of follow this building block concept. There's the foundation of it sometimes is the result of going through something and realizing, oh, okay, that didn't go well. And then being intentional about improving how to manage that next time around. The best example I can give is being hangry. Now, I know some people be like, no, Erica, this isn't a good example, but it's a great example for me because I came to a point where I realized that being hangry, and when I say hangry, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means you're angry as a result of being hungry. So one day, it just came to me that being hangry is not anybody else's problem, but yours. And for you to take your hanger out on other people is bad. It's a problem because they aren't the reason that you haven't fed yourself. Now, we're not talking about people who don't have access to food. We're not talking about people who have limited access to food. That is a different type of hangry that we are not addressing right now. I'm talking about people who have refrigerators with food in them and people who have the ability to feed themselves but are not intentional about making sure they eat, okay? What I'm saying is that if you have access to food and you forget to eat, okay, I get it. Sometimes we're busy and we forget to eat. But when you are in the midst of interacting with other people, and you end up in this space where you're going off on these people, or you're treating these people unfairly, or you're being irritated with these people as a result of your failure to feed yourself, no, go feed yourself and get to a good place so that you can come back and apologize, number one, because you ain't right for that. You feed yourself. So that when, and the reason why this came up for me was because I realized that in the work environment, sometimes people get so caught up in getting their work done that they don't go to lunch, or they're like, oh, I'll just take a late lunch, or I'll go to lunch later. But then they end up unfocused, unproductive, and now snapping on people because they haven't fed themselves. Feeding yourself is a form of self-care, okay? I have come to fully embrace this idea that food, yes, while we, you know, hear this thing about comfort food, but feeding yourself is a form of self-care. It's a form of taking care of yourself, and it's a way in which you allow yourself to thrive. Because when you feed yourself, and especially when you feed yourself good things and healthy things, it allows you to have a healthy body, a healthy mind. You can concentrate better. Being hydrated matters. All of those things affect your mood. So this biology thing, like, it matters what you put in your body. It matters how often you put said things in your body. And so this affects your emotional intelligence, because when you haven't fed yourself, and this is as simple as it gets, when you haven't fed yourself and you don't have the energy to expend to do the things that you need to do, your body responds in a negative way. And not even just on a mental and emotional level, but on a physical level as well. Now, I'm not certified to talk about fitness. We're not going to talk about that though, okay? The point is, feed yourself, because you're being hangry is not anybody else's problem. It's your job to make sure that you take care of yourself so that you can show up in the world as your best self. Anyway, back to the fact that emotional intelligence is something that's cultivated. One of the ways in which you can avoid that being hangry is making sure you have a snack, keeping tabs on when and how often you've eaten, making sure that if you aren't able to eat on the schedule that you typically would prefer to eat, that you have a snack so that you have something to hold you over. And so with each situation where you find yourself, oh, I haven't eaten, you catch yourself and you say, let me eat this piece of fruit, or let me eat this pack of crackers, or let me stop what I'm doing and go feed myself so that I can make sure I'm operating at maximum capacity. But all of it requires awareness. It requires that, and that's the thing, and that's what I love about these three types of awareness that I found. Because with regard to being hangry, there's that bodily awareness where it's like, I feel that I'm hungry. I am hungry. There's that acknowledgement that you're hungry. But then that introspection of having to think about, okay, what am I going to eat? Did I bring myself lunch? Did I prepare myself lunch? Or whatever the situation may be, there's a thought process that may need to go into it. Or if you're at work and you might need to have somebody cover your shift or whatever, there's a mental process that has to take place, or that may need to take place rather, in order for you to get to that final result. But ultimately, the goal is to get better with each situation so that you're not putting yourself in position to mistreat other people, whether that's being verbally abusive or, you know, just being irritated with people. You know, nobody wants to deal with somebody who's irritated with them. It doesn't feel good. And that doesn't mean that every situation will be perfect. This isn't about saying that things are going to be perfect. This is just about teaching you the importance of having the awareness of what's going on within you, then being intentional about preparing yourself to avoid those situations or doing what's possible to mitigate the effects of your lack of preparation. I hope that made sense. So anyway, I'm at time. I like to make these short and sweet for y'all because I know that we all have things going on. So I hope that you have learned something from this. And I just want to encourage you to make sure that you are following the podcast. Make sure you are subscribed to the email list, because this subject of emotional intelligence is one that I believe is really, really, really important, not just for the adults who are out here managing everyday life and running businesses and taking care of children and doing all of these different things, but I believe it's also important for us to teach our children from the time that they are able to understand what's going on. It's so important because the longer they have the opportunity in life to exercise emotional intelligence, the more effective they will be as adults, the better communicators they'll be. It has so many different benefits. I can't even name them all to you right now. So just be intentional. If you have children, be intentional about allowing them the space to be emotionally intelligent. And lead by example. Because communication in the midst of some of those difficult emotions is paramount to them understanding how to operate with emotional intelligence for themselves. So sometimes there may be difficult conversations that need to be had. I know as a divorced mom, sometimes there have been conversations that I had to have with my daughter, and it was difficult because it's like, she's young. She hasn't even fully, you know, developed mentally. So there's this need to bring things to them on a level that they can understand, because they deserve the opportunity to develop that emotional acuity. That's what I'm going to call it, emotional acuity, because the sharper they get with it, the better they'll be able to have relationships with other people, the better they will be at setting boundaries when people have done things that they don't, you know, that they don't agree with, or, you know, that hurt them or make them feel a certain way. And I think another thing about emotional intelligence with children is that it teaches them how to speak up for themselves, which is so important. And what's interesting is that we live in a time, and I'm friends with several teachers who are in, you know, education, and some of the stories that I hear about how these kids are communicating in the classroom is disappointing, because what's happening is some parents are allowing their kids the space to speak their mind, but they're not doing so in a respectful way. So what happens is they get to school and they're dealing with the teachers and they're saying things like, well, I don't want to take the test. And they're throwing the test in the trash can. And then when they're questioned about their decision to do that, because I don't feel like I need to do that. 20 years ago, we didn't have the ability to do that. At least not in the school system I was in. If you decided that you were going to be a smart mouth with the teacher, there were consequences. And whether that was you being put in detention or, you know, for insubordination, or if it was your parents being called because you had a bad attitude, there were consequences for things like that. Now, kids feel like this is what I can say and this is what I can do. And then their parents get called and the parent is like, well, what's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is. There are boundaries. when it comes to respecting authority. You don't get to throw your test away because you don't feel like you should have to do your test. You're at school because you're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be learning. Just the stories that I hear that these teachers are dealing with, it's, wow. It's a lot. So pray for our teachers, y'all. They deserve so much more than what they deal with, especially in certain areas. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Thank you for joining me today for this conversation about awareness, the three types of awareness, and emotional intelligence. If you have not had a chance to get your human design reading, make sure you go to Linktree/InnerBeautyReigns and book to get your human design reading. Human design is a system of these various principles that help you to learn what your design is, what you are supposed to be doing as a human, what you're supposed to do as far as your purpose. If you are struggling with what your purpose is or what you're supposed to be doing in life, hit me up. Human design can help you. All right. It can literally give you a roadmap to how you live your life. Thank you again for joining, and I will talk to y'all again soon.